people hear me? Great. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I praise you, Lord, for your glorious name. I praise you, Father, for your righteousness, for your holiness. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are our vision in all that we do. Lord, be with me today as I teach your word. Lord, I have no authority. Your word is the only authority, Father. Father, be with me. Be with all of us, Lord. I pray that your word, Lord, would be our foundation in all that we do. I pray, Father, that we would meditate on your word daily, Lord. It would be our delight. It would be our joy. Father, humble me and all of us and everything and all the decisions and words that we say and do, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. So, this lesson that I've prepared today was actually a lesson that I was actually going to be doing for youth group. And it was actually going to be something that I prepared to be sending off Alric and Logan for going off to college. But I thought it was pretty fitting for today. And so I will do my best to stick with the word of the Lord. So turn to 1 Peter 5:8. Sorry, before you go to 1 Peter 5:8, that's my bad. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to be looking. This is our main text for today, but it's 13 and 14. And it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men and be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. That's our text for today. And that was what I had prepared for youth group. And hopefully it encourages y'all because it encouraged and convicted me in many ways. So I have 4 points for this lesson. My first point is to be watchful. My second point is to stand firm in the faith. My third point is to act like men and be strong. I'm going to combine those two together. I think those two go well. My fourth point and my final point is to let all that you do be done in love. So, my first point, be watchful. I take this point from 1 Peter 5:8. And as you're turning there, I'll be saying that under this first point, I have two subpoints. We're to be watchful for the devil, but we are also to be watchful for the return of Christ. So those are the two things in which we are supposed to be watchful for. And 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan is very active in this world. He is very active seeking to bring down the body of Christ. Anybody that stands for Christ, Satan is out there trying to tear them down. Anybody that stands for the faith, Satan is seeking to destroy your faith. To destroy my faith. Anybody that has a love for the Word of God, Satan is there trying to deceive you, trying to plant thoughts into our minds, saying, well, but the Word of God may say this at some point, trying to deceive us from the truth. He did that to Adam and Eve. and Adam and Eve sinned because Satan twisted God's words. And he does that to all of us in many ways. His goal is to create division. His goal is to sow seeds of division within the body. God's plan is to create unity in all of us, in our hearts. We were made for fellowship. That is what we were made for. Back in Genesis verse 1, 26, it talks about we were made into the image of God, into the image of His Creator. There were three persons present at this creation here: God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. We were made into fellowship. We were made to be in unity with Christ. And Satan is seeking to tear that away from us. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10, it says, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. This is the plan of Christ and all that He does. And Satan is constantly trying to undermine this plan, whether through what we do, through what we say as a body, through how we act. And he does a very good job. And if you look at James chapter 4, if you turn there with me, we're going to be reading how Satan causes division within the church. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. And it says in verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, and so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, and so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world and makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he is made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So there's three things I'd like to point out in this passage. The first thing I'd like to point out is at the very beginning, it says you desire and you do not have, and so you murder. That's found in verse 2. I don't think James is trying to say that everybody is going out and murdering everybody, that they have such a covetous heart, so they're going out and killing everybody around them. He's saying that their hearts are so filled with hate that they have murder, fulfilling murder inside their hearts. It says in Matthew chapter 5, 21 and 22, it says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. The same judgment that was passed to those who murdered was the same judgment to those who had anger in their hearts. This is what he's talking about here. They had such an anger and covetous nature inside their hearts that it was the equivalent of murdering somebody. That's the importance of... the importance of the nature of sin in our hearts is what I'm trying to say, and what I believe James is trying to say. And please, if there's anything that I say that is confusing, please come up and ask me. Sometimes my thoughts don't always come out the best. The second thing I'd like to point out, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. We are all supposed to be aware of Satan's activities. We're called to be watchful. How do we do that? Through submitting ourselves to the Lord, cleansing our hearts. That's what the Lord wants from us. When we do that, Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to go to the Lord. He doesn't want me to come to the Lord with a humble heart. Satan wants me to have pride. But when I submit myself before the Lord, and I say to the Lord, Lord, may your will be done in my life. When Christ came before the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, may this cup pass from me, but may your will be done. He submitted himself to the Lord. He said to the Lord, Lord, this pain and anguish is something that I don't want to bear, but I will do it because it is your will. And there are so many things that I don't want to do in my life. But the Lord, he calls us as a body to do because it is the will of the Lord. But we must do it with humility. And thirdly, I would like to point out is at the end of this passage, it says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So who are we to judge the sin in someone else's life if we can't first judge the sin in our own hearts? Christ said, take the plank out of our own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's. If we can't judge the sin in our own hearts, how can we rightly judge the sin in somebody else's? And he's saying there's only one judge, one true judge that truly knows the hearts of men, and that is God. I don't know the hearts of men. But there will come a time in which the Lord will judge the hearts of all men. And as believers, this is a time in which we look forward to. It is not a time in which we have to fear, but we look forward to because of Christ's perfect work on the cross. Because of his saving work. And we are able to stand before the Lord because of his righteousness. And so with that being said, I move on to my second subpoint under being watchful. And as we are being watchful for the return of Christ. So if you turn to me and look at Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 40. And And in verse 35, it says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for the masters to come home for the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. We don't know when the Son of Man is coming. We look forward to it every day. It could be tomorrow, could be a week from now, a month. I pray that it's tomorrow. That'd be awesome. Get rid of my sin. But it says, stay dressed for action. Those are terms used for soldiers there. Stay dressed for action. Be like men. Now, I'm also speaking to the women here. I know that y'all are not men. But there is a men in y'all's word, except it just has woe in the front. Sometimes I'd like to prop up my feet, turn on the TV, say, Lord, you do what you will. I'll just sit here and recline and I'll just wait. You do all that you want to do and I'll just wait. But I don't think this is the type of waiting that he's talking about. I think he's talking about a waiting with a preparedness, a waiting with an action. Max said this one time, and I don't think we necessarily have to go out and look for Satan's activity in the world, but Max gave this example. A bank teller, how do they know the difference between a counterfeit dollar and a real dollar? Well, they don't have to go out and look for the counterfeit. They don't have to go out and look for it. It just comes to them. But they're so familiar with the real thing that when it does reveal itself, they're ready to take action. They're ready to see it. And we must be so familiar with God's word, so ready and engrossed with God's word in our lives, so that when Satan reveals himself, and he will, we're not deceived. We're not taken aback. We're ready. We're prepared. And we're not divided. We're unified as a body. And we know how to act because we have been prepared by God's word beforehand. So let us be watchful for the return of Christ. Let us be watchful for Satan's activity. And how are we to be watchful? How are we supposed to be doing these things? Two things. Sober-minded and through prayer. 1 Peter 5:8 says that. It says, be sober-minded and be watchful. Well, how are we sober-minded? Well, Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your minds on things above and not on things of the earth. That's how are we sober-minded. We don't set our minds on the things of the earth that distract us from the true thing of this world that we set our foundation upon. That is Christ. Christ is what gives us our understanding. He is what gives us our clarity and our joy in thinking through the uncertain things of life. And prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer and being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We pray continually with thanksgiving. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we pray, but also lifting up the needs of the body. When we pray, we lift each other up in prayer. That's a way we can keep ourselves unified, is praying for each other, with each other, alongside each other. So, that was my first point. I still have three more points to go through. So my first point was to be watchful. Be watchful for Satan's activity, for the return of Christ. We do that through being sober-minded and through prayer. My second point is to stand firm in the faith. And so what does it mean to stand firm in the faith? And so I ask you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. And I'm just going to read the entire psalm. It's a short psalm. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And I chose this psalm because it says, those who delight in the law of the Lord, he is like a tree. A tree is something that has a firm foundation with its roots going down into the soil that can withstand the seasons that come, the strong winds, the rain. And that if you kind of, I get the idea of a mesquite tree, you can cut it down, but it still grows back, and cut it down at its roots, but it still comes back because it has a 40-foot taproot. It goes down so far that it doesn't die. We're to stand strong as a tree. We are firmly planted by the waters, which is the Word of God. And we meditate on His Word daily. We become so in tune with His Word that we ourselves become immovable. It's not that we are the foundation. It's not that we stand strong, but we stand strong only because of who we stand on. And that is Christ, our solid rock. He is our foundation. And it's the foundation that does not shift or deteriorate, does not leave cracks, does not leave broken walls or show outlines in the sheetrock. But it leaves a perfect place for which we can stand. And we know as believers that there will be seasons that will come and that will test our faith. And that will try to bring us down, and that's Satan's activity. Trying to destroy our trust in the Lord. And let's read James 1. 5 through James chapter 1, 5 through 8, that talks about our faith and the testing of our faith. It says, James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person may not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He's asking us to ask faith, to ask wisdom in faith because of what he said previously. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we come before the Lord daily, humbling ourselves before the Lord. As James 4 says, we humble ourselves before the Lord, asking for wisdom continually, so that we may stand strong, so that we may be reminded of the foundation that we're rooted in. But the wicked and the unrighteous, they're blown away. They're blown away with the wind. They have no foundation upon which to stand. They may be in the midst of the body, but they will be revealed. I'll give you an example. I worked at Camp Taos. We had somebody that was our community ministry leader. So he went out and taught community ministry amongst kiddos, teaching them the gospel. He did this for 2 years. And finally, it was revealed that two things. He was gay when he left, and he no longer believed in Christ. And he did that for 2 years at Camp Taos. No one knew. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy. I can give two other examples at Taos that have happened that way. But there are people that will live amongst the body. And they can talk a good talk. And they can talk a good talk and say good things that are very convincing. But they will be revealed. But if we ourselves stand firm, we don't have to worry, because we'll be able to notice it. We don't have to worry. We ourselves must be rooted in the faith, rooted in God's word. So let us continually delight ourselves in his word, both day and night, in order that we might stand firm in God's faith. So, my third point is to act like men and be strong. And as I said before, there are women in this congregation, but I do believe this is referring to all, both men and women. And When I hear this, when I was going through this lesson with Alyssa, she gave me a very good illustration to think about. But she provided this illustration. I wanted to kind of give it to y'all. Think about a captain running alongside the line of soldiers that are about to go out before battle. And the captain is yelling at its soldiers, "Be men and stay strong, because they're about to face evil face to face. They're about to go out and meet and battle and possibly face death." And he's encouraging their soldiers not to lose heart, not to lose hope, not to lose their faith, but to stand strong, to be men. And so let's turn to Joshua 1, and we'll read about how we can be strong and to act like men. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. Sorry, I chose some lengthy passages for us today. Say it again. Joshua chapter 1. We in Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 9. And I'm going to starting with verse 5, it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so what I would like to point out is that if you look at verse 5 and you look at verse 9, this whole thing is sandwiched with the Lord being with them, the Lord going before them, the Lord fighting for them. It is the Lord who goes before us as a body. It is not us who stand strong, but it's the Lord who goes before us that allows us to stand strong and be courageous and be like men. We are able to be men and be strong only because of who goes before us, who paved the way for us. And all that he did, he lived the perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. And we look to his life. We look to how he lived. And we look to him leading us in our life right now to know, "Lord, there's nothing that I can do right now. But I know that you are leading me, and I don't know where you're leading me, but I trust you, and I can be strong in you." And he calls us to meditate on his word, to not forget it. But we're only able to because of who did it perfectly. And I fell so many times. And I wish I didn't. I fail so many times, but I know who lives perfectly within me and with all of you. And he is the one supporting us, even when we're at our weakest moment. And it feels like there is no hope. So there is no strength that can be found within us, no courage that can be found within ourselves. There is nothing within ourselves that we can rely upon to get us through anything. But in everything, we rely upon the Lord in all that we do. So therefore, let us act like men and be strong. And so I go to my final point, and that is, let all that you do be done in love. And I think this point in itself is kind of self-explanatory. I don't think we necessarily have to think much about this point to know what it's trying to say. In everything, whether we say, what we say, what we do, how we act, how we interact, it's everything, every single thing that we do in the love of Christ. But I do have a scripture for this. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 43 through 48. And it says in verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you must be perfect, as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect." And what a command. What a command to live up to. So, with that being said, it's easy to love those that we get along with. It's easy to love those that agree with us and that we agree with. But what about those we don't get along with that prick our anger hearts, our anger cords in our hearts? That every time we see, every time we talk to, "Oh, why did they say that? Why did they do that? Man, I just want to give them a knuckle sandwich." But it is those people that we are called to love the most. It is those people that are hardest to love that we must be loving the most in all that we do, especially the body sometimes. The body can be the hardest people to love sometimes because we're so close to them. But I'll tell you this, the body is only as strong as the weakest person. The body is only as strong as the weakest person in the body. So you gauge the strength of the body by how strong the weakest person is. So a football team goes out on the field, you gauge the strength of that football team by the weakest person on that field. That's how strong that football team is. And that's how strong this body's going to be. If I have a broken leg, it doesn't matter how strong my arms are. They're going to be strained. They're going to be put a lot. There's going to be a lot of stress in my arms and on the rest of my body. I must take care of my leg. I must nourish it. I must uphold it so that my whole body can be strengthened. We must take care of each other. If we can't take care of each other, how's the world going to look at us and say, "Yes, they stand for Christ"? I can look at them and know that there's a God. If I don't take care of the body, how can the world look at me and say, "Yes, there's a God"? They're going to be looking at me and saying, "You hypocrite. You say there's a God, but you don't live like it." When I was going through this, man, this was so convicting to me. And I'm not up here trying to be y'all's authority. Please don't misunderstand. What does it look like to love, to let all that we do be done in love? Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, "Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We speak gently in all that we do, in all that we say. 1 John 3, 17 through 18, it says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's easy to say that you love somebody, but show it. So if the words that we say are not spoken out of love, don't say it at all. If truth is not spoken out of love, don't say it at all. And I'm saying this to myself. If we cannot say anything without controlling our anger, don't say it at all. We are meant for the building up of the body. Our words have to be for building up, not for tearing down. And so if the truth, whether it may be true or not, it may be true in what we're saying, but if what we're saying is true and it's not spoken out of love, don't say it. I'll read one more verse. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We all know 1 Corinthians 13. I'll just read the verse, three verses. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all that I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, and have not love, I gain nothing." So, in conclusion, I'm just going to say this. Let us be watchful. Let us stand firm in the faith. Let us act like men and be strong. And let all that you do be done in love. And let us not forget who goes before us and who our foundation is, and that is Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I lift up your name, Lord. Father, if there was anything that I said that was not true or was unbiblical, Lord, please humble me. Father, may your word lead us, Lord. May it lead me. Father, we as a body need you every hour. And every hour, Lord, we need you. Father, we stand firm in the faith that you have given us, Lord, for nothing that we have is of our own. All good things, Lord, come from you. Father, thank you for everyone here, for their hearts for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would lead all of us, Lord, as we go home, as we worship you, Lord, with our families, as we go back to work, as we lead our children, Lord. Father, be with the music today, Lord. May it bring glory to you. Be with the preaching today, Lord. May it bring glory to you. In your name I pray. Amen.